Good morning, Boker Tov. Welcome back to Parsha Perspectives for today. As always, we begin with gratitude. Thank you to our generous sponsors of our series for the year, Becky and Avi Katz and family, in memory of Becky's father, David Grossman, Lila Nishmas, David Ben, Menachem Manish. We're very, very grateful. I want to bring two other opportunities to your attention. Number one, that we have begun a beautiful write-up of the Parsha Perspectives. So we often share 8 to 10 or more Divrei Torah. We're taking three and writing them up so you can say them at your Shabbos table. And they are distributed to tens of thousands of people through our website and the weekly online and offline and YU's Parsha Reader and other mechanisms. If you'd like to sponsor a write-up of the Parsha Perspective, we could use your support and help, because I'm not doing it, someone is doing it for me, and there's a cost involved. So we're not making money, we're simply covering the cost to provide the write-up of the Parsha Perspective, $180 to sponsor, just like the shiur itself, and you could do it in honor and memory of anyone. Please be in touch with Lee, L-E-E, at brsonline.org. And also, and more importantly, we've begun a campaign. Our beloved Esti Moskowitz, daughter of Rabbi Phil and Ariel Moskowitz, we know is a continued need of refuah shlema, and we've begun a 1+1 campaign. $1 a day to tzedakah and a minute a day of learning. Today you're going to get much more than a minute coming to the Parsha class. But you can join a WhatsApp group where there's a 1 minute, 60 second Dvar Torah posted every day. 1 minute of Torah learning, $1 of tzedakah giving, all in her merit. Esther Tila Bas Ariel Tzipora. You can go to brsonline.org, 1&1, the number 1. A-N-D, 1, 1&1, and join daily giving, $1 a day. BRS are not recipients of the money. This is not a ploy for us to make money, God forbid, but it's an opportunity to give tzedakah and to diversify the giving elsewhere. BRSonline.org, 1&1. BRSonline.org, 1&1. In the merit of Esti, she should have a refuah shlema, speedy, painless, and complete. This week we have the privilege of reading Parshas Bichukosai, page 708 in the Art Scroll Chumash. And on these opening words, there's so much to say. We could spend our entire hour just on these opening words, just on this opening pasuk, this opening sentence. Often, Bahar and Bichukosai are read together and we don't get the chance to do a deep dive into the Parshas Bichukosai because we don't know how to plan or allocate accordingly. We spend all of our time at the beginning. But this year is different, Parshas Bichukosai. So here we go. Let's dive in. Im Bichukosai teilechu, ves mitzvosai teshmeru, v'asisem osam. Torah sets up a paradigm. If you follow my chukim and you observe my mitzvos, and you perform them, v'asisem osam, then quid pro quo. Here's the deal. Hashem says, God says, scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. Observe and be compliant of my mitzvos, and I'll make you happy. I'll make it rain. V'nasati gishmechem bi'itam, I'll make it rain in the right time. V'nasna ha'aretz yivula ve'etz ha'sadeh yitein piryo, and the land will give its produce, the tree of the field will give its fruit. V'yisig lachem da'yish es batzir, batzir yisig es azara, v'achaltam lasova, and so on. You're threshing will last until the vintage until the sowing. You'll eat your bread till you're satisfied, and you will dwell securely. V'yishavtem lavetach ba'artzachem. Boy, isn't that a hope and aspiration for us to be living peacefully in our land. No more terror, no more enemies, but to live peacefully. What will precipitate this reality? When will Hashem make it rain? That's the vernacular. When we earn a parnasa, when the livelihood flows, when the money's coming in. We talk about being a rainmaker or making it rain. When will Hashem make it rain in our lives? When will the stock market go up instead of down? When will that happen? Im bechukosai teilechu. First pasuk tells us that's the condition. That's the rule. That's what it will take. So let's see several interpretations of what that means. Says Rashi, yochol ze kiyum ha-mitzvos. So maybe bechukosai teilechu means fulfill mitzvos. After all, what are chukim? This is framed, it's phrased as walk with my chukim. What are chukim? A form of mitzvos. But that can't be, says Rashi. Kishu omer ves mitzvosai tishmeru, harikiyama mitzvos amur. We're already referencing separately and independently the observance of mitzvos. So we're about to say, and if you keep my mitzvos, so chukim can't be mitzvos, because then it would be repetitive or redundant. We're about to mention mitzvos, chukim must mean something different. What does it mean? Ha'aretmani mekayim b'chukosai teilechu. Famously, Rashi quotes Chazal to tell us, what does b'chukosai teilechu mean? It can't mean mitzvos, mitzvahs we're about to say. So what does it mean? It means, shetiyu amelim batorah. It means toil, effort, sweat, tears, work. Don't have a casual attitude towards Torah. Don't take it lightly. Don't take it as something pedestrian. Amelus, effort, and work, and toil. How is that hinted to in the words, b'chukosai teilechu? I understand that it can't mean mitzvos, because we're about to say mitzvos. Mitzvosai teshmeru means mitzvos. Chukosai needs to mean something else. But how do I know it means amelus b'torah? How do I know it means take a serious attitude and approach, effort, work towards Torah? So Shmuel Rozovsky, Zatzal, the Rosh Hashiva of Panovich, says, in the word Teilechu, Nemar Shatzar Halicha, Viskadmos Tmidas Bechayim. What does Halicha means? To walk, to go. How does one walk? You put one foot in front of the other. You proceed, you make progress, you advance, you grow, you journey towards a destination. Litzod Ulahafil B'malos HaTorah. V'lios b'matzav tamidi shel aliyah. To be a holich, to be in halicha, to be following halacha, means to refuse to stand still, to never have arrived, to never be complacent, to never be done. But it means to make progress, to climb, to go. L'alechas v'letzod kolachayim l'or ha'achukim shel Torah. To be drawn to, and to work on, and to advance towards understanding the mysteries and the secrets and the revealed and the beauty of Torah. And how do you do that? With work. It doesn't come easily. Nothing in life that's worth it comes easily. We can't download Torah into our mind, and we can't be half asleep while we listen or learn. It takes work, and it takes effort, it takes commitment, it takes ambition, it takes aspiration, it takes drive. It takes drive. You have to be steigen. Telchu meant steigen. Und steigen, said the Panovich Rosh Hashiva. It means to steig, it means to toil, it means to put in that effort, it means to work. There is no neutral. You know, Florida, there are no hills. If you leave a car in neutral in Florida, it can remain there forever. You could go have lunch, you go to the Parshashir, you come back. But if you're in Yerushalayim, the holiest place on earth, and you put a car in neutral, it's going to go downhill, you'll probably never see it again. And if you can catch up with it, what it will take to stop it and to make it climb again. In a place of hills, of holiness, there is no neutral. There is no having arrived, there is no apathy, complacency. You have to be in a permanent state of climbing, of growing, of advancing, of working. We spoke about it a little bit this past Shabbos and Shul. I won't repeat the drusha, but I'll tell you something that I left out, which is the following. When we went on our fly into New York, we met with Rav Avram Shor. Rav Shor shared with us, he heard directly from the Pnei Menachem, the Ger Rebbe, was once asked, why did God create the world with gravity? Why did Hashem invent a world with his gravity? Gravity is terribly inconvenient. If I'm holding something and I let go, I wish it would just remain where it is. The fact that if I want to lift my cup, to say L'chaim, Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Nidbara, Baruch. If I want to lift my cup, I have to oppose and fight the forces of gravity. It's inconvenient. Why? So Pnei Menachem, the Ger Rebbe, said, because gravity in the world of physics is a mashal for gravity in the world of metaphysics. Gravity in the physical world is a metaphor for gravity in the spiritual world. That just like when it comes to the physical world, one can't be in neutral. There's a gravitational pull. If you want to lift something, if you want to make it go higher, you have to oppose the force of gravity. So too in the spiritual world, there is no neutral. There is no parav. You can't remain still or stable. But there's a force. Olam hazeh is pulling us down. The Yetzirah is pulling us down. Gravity in the physical world and gravity in the spiritual world is pulling us down. And how do we oppose it? You have to fight the force of gravity. You have to lift. You have to lift. And how do you lift? You have to engage your muscles. Now this cup, or this safer, druk the ishtam, it's a little bit more effort. But when something is heavy, the more significant, the heavier it is, the more muscle you have to engage. What does it take? What does it require? Amelus. effort. So to lift our neshama, to lift our souls, to pursue holiness, not happiness, that's heavy. It takes amelos. To lift and to fight the force of spiritual gravity, the olam hazeh, the gravity of this world, of the Yetzirah, that says, shluf, sleep in, don't go to shul. Eat whatever you want, where you want, when you want. Don't make a bracha. Don't care if it's kosher. Don't care if it's healthy. Say what you want. Look at what you want. Do what you want. That gravitational pull is pulling us down. In Bechukosai Teilechu says the Panovich Rosh Hashiva, Shmuel Rozovsky, that halicha, why is it in Bechukosai Teilechu? What was the hint? What was the giveaway that we're talking about? Amelus? Teilechu. Because it takes effort, Teilechu. It takes effort to walk. It's tiring. You have to lift your legs. It's hard. Stairs? Wah. It's hard. Climb stairs, you tire easily. Your muscles give out. So Teilechu, to climb life, takes amelos, shetu amelim b'Torah. Torah is telling us it's not just observe mitzvos. Casually check, did the mitzvah, good enough, done. Shetu amelim b'Torah. Any life that's worth living takes effort. The reward is according to the effort, the Fumsara Agra. And the hint, the giveaway were, Teilechu. If you want to walk, if you want to climb, it takes effort, amelos b'Torah. The great Mashkiach of Panovich, we're in Panovich today, apparently. We're in Panovich. The great Mashkiach of Panovich, of Chaim Friedlander, the Sifsei Chaim, he asked, how do they know Bechukosai Teilechos Amelus? Maybe it means learning Torah. Maybe it means Yediyas HaTorah. Maybe it simply means acquiring Torah knowledge. Maybe it means being occupied and preoccupied with Torah study. How do we know it means Amelus, to toil and effort and effort? So he says, K'sha'odam Holech L'matara Mesuyem HaSeikra Totzah Shetetze Me'alicha. When you're going towards a certain effort, towards a certain goal, so you only measure success by how much you achieved what? The goal. Lagia al mataraso. If you're trying to solve a mathematical equation, did you come to the solution or not? Ulam etzam ha'alicha eina chashuva. Now, okay, it's a bad example maybe because teachers say show your work and the work matters. But we know that what matters is the bottom line. What we care about, what this world teaches us is, what matters is the bottom line. Did you achieve the goal? Were you successful? Did you arrive at the outcome? The journey, it's not important. Did you get to the destination or not? The journey is simply a hechetimtza. The journey is the necessary, what you need to do to get to the destination. But no one cares about the journey. But Torah is different. Bechukosai teilechu. What we care about is teilechu, the halicha. Are you on a journey of growth? Did you arrive? It's important, but it's not the sole measure. It's not the sole metric. Did you arrive? Did you complete? It's not the destination alone. It's the journey. Bechukosai teilechu. Were you on a journey? A halicha. It's not a coincidence that the Jewish law, the code of Jewish law is called, when we observe, what are we observing? Halacha. Halacha comes from halicha. It's not law. American law is not the American guidebook. It's law. It's dry, sterile, boring law. But Torah, Jewish law, is halacha. It's halacha. It's guiding us on this journey called life, where it's not only the destination, it's not only did we arrive at the solution, but it's did you enjoy and did you engage and did you make an effort on the journey? Did you try? Did you try? Etzam ha'alicha b'tori tachlas. Ve'inena rakecha timtza. The journey is the tachlas, is the goal. The goal is not the only goal. The journey is the goal. Shetu amelim b'Torah. Shetu amelim b'Torah. My future son-in-law actually said this past Motei Shabbos. We had a vort. My daughter Liora got engaged. And Hillel impressed, I don't know if he impressed others, at least he impressed me. And frankly, that's all that matters. But he gave a beautiful Dvar Torah. And he quoted his Rebbe, Rebbe Kalish, about an esrog. That an esrog, the Gemara tells us that the taste of the bark and the fruit is the same. What does that mean? It means the bark, the tree, is simply the means to get to the fruit. So normally all we care about is the taste of the fruit. But here the bark and the fruit are the same because it's the effort, it's the journey, it's the growth of the bark of the tree that yields the fruit that also matters. That's the same, that we also care about, that we also taste from. We don't only care about arriving at the destination, we care about the journey. Halicha, halacha, teilechu. The Torah is our guidebook through life, and we're not a failure if we didn't get there. We actually say this in every siyum. Chofetz Chaim points out in others as well. What do we recite in a siyum? Anu amelim, vehem amelim. Anu amelim amekavim schar, vehem amelim, ve'enam amekavim schar. We are amel, we put in effort, we toil, and we are rewarded. They toil, and they are not rewarded. They're not rewarded? Aaron Judge is on pace to hit 4 billion home runs, and they're talking about his contract being renewed for $350 million. I would say, Anu amelim, vehem amelim, heim mekablim schar. That's a pretty good schar. Anyone know Aaron Judge? Anyone know what I'm talking about? The Yankees? What's the matter with you people? Heim mekablim schar. We know there are people. They trade Bitcoin. They buy this. They build a business. You sell real estate in South Florida. Mekablim schar. Of course they get reward. So how can we so confidently say, we toil and we are rewarded? They toil. They're not rewarded. So Chafetz Chaim says, that's not what it means. What it means is, you open up a Gemara and you're breaking your teeth on a Tosfos. You're breaking your teeth to understand the Gemara. We're in the middle of Yevamos and Daf Yomi. Yevamos among the three most difficult Masechtas. It's a difficult, difficult Masechta. Parts of it are terribly, terribly difficult. You know the Masechta is difficult when you're relieved to get to Petzua Daka and Krushov Chasugyas. It's a tough Masechta. It's a tough, tough Masechta. So you're breaking your teeth on trying to understand the Gemara. You're aspirational, so you're trying to get through a Tosfos, and you work on it for an hour, 2 hours, 4 hours. You listen over and over again. You listen to Rabbi Rosner, and you listen to Sri Bornstein, and you're listening to everybody. And you're breaking your teeth, and you can't get there. Did you waste your time? If you sit with a math problem, and every which way, without a calculator, you sit with your number two pencil, and you can't figure out the answer, 4 hours, 5 hours, 6 hours, you have scribbles. Did you waste your time? Yes. If you don't have the solution to the math problem, you have nothing to show for the 4 hours you spent on it. But if you broke your teeth on the Gemara, if you toiled in Tosfos and you have nothing to show for it, you have everything to show for it. Those 4 hours were the best use of your time. You were engaged, you were working, you were on the journey, you were bechukosai teilechu. Stefanski, I don't want to leave out Stefanski's dad. You were bechukosai teilechu. You were on the journey. So says Rav Chaim Friedlander, the Sifsei Chaim, Bechukosai Teilechu. Amelis B'Torah is described as not learning. It's a journey. And it's not only the destination, it's not only the solution. Mekablam Schar. Whether you understand or not, if you put in the effort, if you worked, if you toiled, that in itself is the goal. That in itself is the destination. The author of Slabotka has another interpretation. Because it says later in the Parsha, Im lo tishmuli. If you don't listen to me, what's that talking about? We're going to talk about it more when we get there. But what does im lo tishmu'li mean? Yachal elu ha-mitzvos. Maybe it means that you neglect mitzvos. You're not obedient or compliant. You don't follow or keep halacha. But that can't be what it means. This is the inverse. It's the parallel to the beginning of our parsha, to our opening pasuk. How could that not be what it means? Because the Torah is going to tell us, v'lo sasvos kol ha-mitzvos ha-ela. We're already going to say, if you don't keep mitzvos, so what does it mean? Lo tishmu. Lo tishmu can't mean not keeping mitzvos, because we're going to say that explicitly in a moment. So what does in lo tishmu li mean, says the Medrash? Lios amelim batorah. If you neglect putting in an effort, if you want it to come easy, if you take the easy way out and the passive way of learning, if you don't actually open up a chumash and learn the parsha for yourself also, if all you do is listen to parsha perspectives, then it's not much amelus. These are very comfortable chairs. Coffee, granola bars. If you're watching or listening at home, you're sitting back in your comfortable recliner. That's not a lot of amelus. For me, it is. I have to prepare this year. But for you, you get to just show up. So if you're not putting in amelus, no amelus b'torah, that's im lo tishmu'uli. You see that the brachos and the klolos, everything that comes in our parsha, the tochacha we're about to read, all results, the measure, the determining factor about how Hashem interacts with us, what kind of life we will lead, is all determined by what? Not if we keep mitzvos, because the assumption here is we're keeping mitzvos. What is it determined by? How we keep mitzvos. Do we do it the lowest common denominator? Do we get away with good enough, or do we strive for great? Do we have a casual attitude towards halacha and Torah learning? Or are we amel? Do we toil? Do we work? Do we push our boundaries? Do we leave our comfort zone? Do we try to strive to be greater and greater and lift ourselves higher and higher? Says the Altar of Slobodka that our measure of who we are and the determinant of the life we will lead is not only do we do mitzvahs, it's not only do we set aside time for Torah learning, but it's the quality of that Torah learning. Are we omel in Torah? I'll tell you another Dvar Torah. This is really a shmooze for yeshiva. But it's not. It's not only for yeshiva bachrim in yeshiva in life, kolal avrechem or yungalait. It's for you and me. It's for all of us at every stage. Arguably, we have more time now. Many who are retired or many whose life has slowed down. What do we fill that time with? We have this time. The Gemara says, Mevatlan Talmud Torah mibnei mikra megillah. Mevatlan Talmud Torah. If you're sitting and studying Torah, holiday of Purim comes, close the Gemara, get up and leave the Beis Medrash, go hear the Megillah. And the Mefarsh and the commentaries ask, one second, Mevatlan Talmud Torah mibnei mikra megillah? We should abandon or Mevatlan, be Mevatel. We are nullifying Torah to go hear the Megillah? Last I checked, where is the Megillah? Where is it printed? Among what book? The Megillah is a book of Tanakh. The Megillah is Torah. Isn't that a fulfillment of Torah learning? What do you mean, Mevatlan Talmud Torah Mibnei Mikra Megillah? If you're in the Beis Medrash and you're Steigengeist and it's time to hear the Megillah, it's Purim, close the Gemara, Bittel Torah, to go hear the Megillah. Bittel Torah? You're going to hear the Megillah. The Megillah is one of the 24 books of Tanakh. How is that Bittel Torah? Rav Avadya Yosef has a little sefer in there. He and others answer. You know why that's called Bittel Torah? Because when you're listening passively in shul to the adorable story of the story of Purim, of the Megillah, but you could be breaking your teeth on a taisus. You could be sitting with the Megillah and learning the Megillah with the Radak and the Rashi and to this David. You could be learning it in depth and all you're doing is listening superficially. That's also called Bittel Torah. It's a justified Bittel Torah because you have to hear the Megillah. But what do you see? That Bittel Torah is not only in quantity, if I stop learning, Bittel Torah is also in quality. If I'm not pushing myself to learn the depth, the profundity that I can, that too is Bittel Torah. It's a pretty high standard. We are a nation of overachievers. We're not satisfied with good, but collectively we strive for great. That's our parsha. Imlo tishmu li means, not that you didn't learn. You're like, what do you mean? Imlo, you're going to get upstairs. Hashem says, you didn't listen to me. So I didn't listen to you? Hashem says, yeah, you didn't listen to me. That's why I didn't make it rain. Literally or metaphorically, I didn't make it rain in your life. You didn't listen. I didn't listen. I learned the daf yomi. I went to the daf. Then I went to the parsha shir. Then I went to the afternoon kolol. Then I put on 17 shiurim at home. When I went shopping, when I walked around the circle, when I cooked. I didn't listen to you? What are you talking about, Hashem? Hashem says, yeah, you did that. And if that's all you could do, that's amazing. And you get enormous credit for that. And I'm not minimizing that or disparaging that whatsoever, particularly if you listen to my shiurim. But what I'm saying, says Hashem, is beautiful you did all that. But could you have pushed yourself more? Could you have done more? Could you have challenged yourself to have a chavrusa, to open a sefer, to learn in a different way, in a higher level? To click the advanced shear, not only the beginner when you were listening? That's on Melis B'Torah, and that is the measure. Kotzker, share one more insight, and then we'll move past this first pasuk. Kotzker Rebbe. Oh, I love the Kotzker. Zok the Kotzker. In our parsha. Quotes a Medrash. B'chukosai Teilechu. The Medrash says that our opening words in B'chukosai Teilechu are an allusion to a pasuk in Tehillim. Tehillim Parakuf Yutes. Pasuk Nuntes. Chishavti derachai va'ashiva raglai el edosecha. Chishavti derachai. I thought about my way. Va'ashiva raglai el edosecha. And my feet took me towards your testimony. What is David saying? Zok the Medrash. Says the Medrash. You know what David meant when he wrote this word, this sentence? Omar David. Ribono shalaylam. Hashem b'chol yom v'yom eisi mechashiv omer l'makom ploni ani holich v'yarag lai mevios osi lebatei kinesis lebatei midrashos. And that's what it means. V'ashiv v'raglai ele dosecha. Hashem, every day I wake up and I'm trying to go to work and I'm trying to go to the gym and I'm trying to go to the supermarket, to shop. But you know what happens? I can't help it. My feet on autopilot, they take me to the Beis Medrash. They take me to the shul. I'm trying to go to these other places, but Ashiva Raglai El Dosecha. My feet are taking me back to the Beis Medrash, back to the shul. Ask the Kotzer Yesh Lavin, how could it be if in my Abir Tzon of Adaita Laleches LaBeis Ploni LaMakam Ploni? Come on. We know neuroplasty, neurologists. Your brain is telling your legs what to do. Don't blame your legs on leading your brain. Your brain's in charge. It's called the Rosh, it's the head. It's in charge. So the brain says, go to the gym, go to work, go to the supermarket. How is it that the feet don't listen? How are the feet defiant? How do the feet lead to? Echa yuragav mevios aso benigud l'ritzono lebeis ha-medrash. If you really are stating, says David HaMelech, if you, David HaMelech, really want to go elsewhere, how is it working that your feet are taking you to the Beis HaMedrash? Listen to the Kotzker. Im ha'adam mechashev drachav, afilu bedvar magashmiim, nosnim lokoach lishtokek l'torah kedusha. If you are calculating your ways, even your physical actions are Torah, then you turn wherever you go into a Beis HaMedrash, a Beis Knesset. Psh, what a Kotzker. It's not that David didn't arrive geographically where he meant to go. It's rather where he meant to go becomes altogether different, is elevated, is transformed, because his mind makes everything a Beis HaMedrash. At the supermarket and at work and in the gym, through the conversations you have, through what you're thinking about, through the prism through which you filter and see all that happens, it's all in the context of Torah and Avoda. You transform everywhere you go into a Beis Medrash and a Beis Knesset. That's what David HaMelech was saying. That's what the Medrash means. Im b'chukosai teilechu. Teilechu means, it's not just when I'm in shul or when I'm in the Beis Medrash that I'm engaged in religious activity, and then is my secular life. But rather, if I'm a religious personality, if I'm a Ben or a Bas Torah, everywhere I go is a Beis Medrash of life. I feel like that as a rabbi, because everywhere I go is drasha material. Whatever's happening in life is drasha material. Over Pesach, Yishai Ribo concert that happened, you may have heard of, whatever, he was a few songs in, neighbors complained, the police came and shut it down, they took him off stage, and my dear friend Rabbi Gibber's son, Chaim Gibber, was sitting a couple rows in front of me, and he turned around to me and he said something only a rabbi's child would say. He looked at me as they led Yishai Ribo off stage and abruptly ended this concert to the dismay of many people. He turned around and he said to me, drasha material. Only a rabbi's kid would say, drasha material. That's how we live life. Everything is a Beis Medrash for drasha material. But you don't have to be a rabbi to approach life and live everything and say, what's the Torah message? What's the Torah idea? How does this connect to the Torah that I've learned? David HaMelech turned to every place he went into a Beis Medrash. Kotzker doesn't say this, the Slonim Rebbe does, but that's what David HaMelech also means when he says, Achashalti meis Hashem osa avakesh, shifti beveis Hashem kol yimei chayai. David HaMelech says, I want to be in kolol all of life. That's what David HaMelech wants. He's a warrior, he's got to go to battle, he's a king, he's in charge of the people. What do you mean shifti beveis Hashem? And nobody, I don't care how generous your parents or in-laws are, nobody could sit in kolol their whole life and learn literally all day. Got to go to the bathroom. You have to eat and sleep. You have to shower and bathe. You have to do other mundane activities. So how can you say, Shifti b'veis Hashem kol yimei chayai? Says the Slonimer, consistent with the Kotzker, what he's saying about David HaMelech. What David HaMelech was saying was, not that I want to be in shul or Beis Medrash all day. I want wherever I go to become a Beis Medrash. I want to feel your presence. I want to connect with you. I want to be living and learning you wherever I am. Shifti beis Hashem kol yimei chayai. Ashiva raglai el edosecha. My legs, my feet, what could I do? They brought me. So wherever I went was a beis medrash for you. That is life. Okay, next pasuk. Chavav. Perchavav pasuk dalad. We read. V'nasati kish mechem be'itam. Ooh, it's going to rain in the right time. What does that mean, it's going to rain in the right time? What does that mean? What's the right time for the rain? What is the right time for the rain? Says Rashi, Bi'itam. B'shosh ein derech b'nei adam latzeis. You know when the right time is for it to rain? When you don't plan on leaving your house. Hashem is going to time the rain when you're not out and about. That's when He's going to make it rain. So when is that? When is the best time? Kigon, Belele Revios Uvalele Shabbosos. What are the Revios? Sunday night through Wednesday night. That's what it means. That's when it's going to rain. And late Friday night. Why is that the best time for the rain? What does that mean? What does that mean? So says Rashi, you know what the bracha is? You need rain. We need rain. but rain is also inconvenient. So Hashem will give us both. We'll get the rain, but at convenient times. Like a sprinkler you could set to go on while you're sleeping, so it doesn't spray you while you're getting into your car. Kadosh Baruch Hu sets the sprinklers of the world, the rain, that they operate in a time which is not inconvenient or uncomfortable for us. And when is that? Sunday night through Wednesday night and Friday night. Huh? Why is that? That's what Rashi says. So why is that? So I'll tell you from the Sefer L'Sitcha Elyon, a turn Friday into Erev Shabbos Vort, that, I'll tell you right now, I may reuse during Friday, turn Friday into Erev Shabbos, because it's so beautiful. Listen to this Vort. Why is that? Why is it then? So we see this comes from Medrash. Be'ita b'rvios o enel ba'arvi shabbosos. Amru, shanu kishnani elio, gisham yordim ba'arvi shabbosos enel simen klala. Perisha arash v'arayi v'shkavanas b'rvios perisha ad yom revi. Shekol yom mitchilas hashavu ad yom revi, hu yom brachal yiridus gishamim. Aval b'yom chamishi v'shishi, shetrudim b'tzorchei shabbos, im yordim b'hem gishamim, afilo ma'isa shnayim, kamo b'shnos elio, im simen klala. If it rains on Thursday and Friday, it's a curse. If it rains on Sunday through Wednesday, it's a bracha. Why? Because Sunday through Wednesday, you're home. But Thursday and Friday, what are you doing? You're shopping and preparing for Shabbos. Niflalas boinein. This is wondrous to think about. HaTorah mavticha schar la'amalei Torah. So remember what this is a conclusion of. Im b'chukosai teleichu. Shtai gois and learning. Sitting. Toil in Torah. And what's your reward for toiling in Torah? What is the reward? When you're preparing for Shabbos, you won't be inconvenienced. That's the reward. The reward is you're turning Friday into Erev Shabbos. That's the reward. Wow. Mao aschar shelo yafru ma'achanas tzarchei Shabbos. V'lechora niten haya lechakos l'schar yoser gadol adam. That's schar. Schar is make my bank account explode, make my portfolio go up, give me Aaron Judge's new contract. That's schar. Schar is that you let me shop on Erev Shabbos in peace. So you know what the answer is? For a Heilige Yid, that's schar. That's what you long for and look to. You don't need a bigger house or a nicer car. For a Jew, you know what you want? Help me turn Friday into Erev Shabbos. That's the schar. Amelus and Torah, the schar for a life of Amelus and Torah is being able to turn Friday into Erev Shabbos. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that incredible? That is the schar. Peaceful ability to turn Friday into Erev Shabbos. I told the story in Turn Friday into Erev Shabbos. I don't remember if I told it in the Parsha Shir, but when the Satmar Rebbe met with Rav David Feinstein, Zatzal, he said, our fathers were close, we barely know each other. We'd love to, we should really spend time. And Rav David said, absolutely, I'd love to see you. So the Satmar Rebbe said, how about Thursday night? Thursday night was a good night. So Rav David Feinstein told the Satmar Rebbe, I can't. Every Thursday night, my wife gives me a shopping list, and I do the shopping for Shabbos at the grocery store. And I told that story in an email. I got an email from someone who lived in the Lower East Side who told me that Thursday night you knew if you went to the supermarket, you saw Rav David Feinstein, the Gadol of America, arguably the biggest posek in America, and he was pushing a cart through the supermarket aisles shopping for Shabbos. Because for a holy Jew, the reward for Amelus B'Torah is getting to go to the supermarket on Erev Shabbos. That's the reward. Not, I delegate it to someone else. Not, I'm too busy, don't ask me to do it. For Rav David Feinstein, the schar of Amelus B'Torah, of Im B'chukosai Teileichu was Gishmechem Be'itam. Let it rain Sunday through Wednesday, Thursday night, I go to the supermarket. Hashem, let it not rain. The Lower East Side, you have to say, let it not snow. Kodesh Baruch Hu, let no one steal my hubcaps. Let, and Lower East Side, there's a whole other set of tefillos that you have to say. Hashem, let me turn Friday into Erev Shabbos in peace and in serenity. And that is the reward for a holy Jew, for a Gadol Ador, for Im B'chukosai Teileichu. Geshmak, no? Absolutely incredible. Absolutely incredible. So incredible, I may repeat it again at Turn Friday into Erev Shabbos. Pasuk Beis, Pasuk K. Moving right along, third Pasuk. We read, V'hisik lechem da'yish batzir batzir esik is d'zara v'achat melach mechad nasov v'yishat levetach ba'artzechem. Threshing will last until the vintage. These are different harvesting seasons. But they'll be so plentiful, the bounty will be so great that they'll overlap until you'll eat bread and satiate. You'll be full and you'll dwell securely in your land. V'hisig lachem es daish. What is this talking about? What does this mean? So Rav Chaim Volozhiner, the Nefesh HaChaim, in his Ruach Chaim, Perek Aleph, says the following. After the Torah offers us promises of Olam Hazah to Shomrei Torah, why do we see that for many people it doesn't come true? This is a big question, Parshas B'chukosai. It's a big question, Parshas Chukisavo. When the Torah does allude to, it infrequently does, but when the Torah does, here it doesn't allude, it explicitly says, the system of reward and punishment. Keep Torah, it's going to rain, you can have peace, you can have children, life will be beautiful and good. And neglect Torah, you're going to struggle, you're going to suffer, you're going to be hungry, you won't have the money to pay the bills. Ask Reb Chaim Volozhiner, that's nice in theory, but empirically it's not true. We look around at this world, and there are incredibly righteous people who keep Torah and mitzvos, and yet there are bad things that happen to good people, and there are good things that happen to bad people. So it doesn't add up. It doesn't match what the Torah promises. We see many people who keep Torah and mitzvah scrupulously, vigilantly. They're amel, and they're yaga, they're toiling in it, and yet, where are the brachas? Where's the rain? Where are the children? Says Reb Chaim Volozhiner, Ruach Chaim, Asiyas Maisa Mitzvahs Ma'ura Kolach Mishra Shefa Atzim Shal Tova Ubracha B'chol Olamos. Torah doesn't promise that when you do the right thing in the flow of blessing into this world, that you will be the recipient of the flow of blessing. It's that you are the catalyst for the flow of blessing. You open the pipeline. You open the channel. How much of it you get, that's still up to Hashem. How it works in this world and the next world, there are bad things that happen to good people in this world, and they have a lichticha and a meridika gan Eden. The bad in this world leaves them only pure good in the next. And there are bad people who have good things happen in this world. They're living up all their Gan Eden in this world, and there's nothing good left for them or waiting for them. We don't know Hashem's calculations. We don't know how He works. And when the Torah here promises that if you are well-behaved and you're good, then good things happen, it doesn't mean good things happen for you. It means that you are responsible for the good things that flow and come down into the world and into the universe. And he says, Reb Chaim Volozhiner, that's what the Gemara means in Brachos. Kol ha'olam kulo nizon b'shvil Chananya b'ni, v'chanina b'ni, dailo b'kav ha'charuva me'erev Shabbos la'erev Shabbos. Gemara quotes, that kol ha'olam kulo nizon b'shvil Chanina b'ni, the whole world is sustained by my son Chanina, but Chanina, he lives with carobs from Friday to Friday. He lives with kale, rachman latzlan lo aleinu. He eats gurnisht, he eats nothing. He subsides on the worst punishment for man, from Erev Shabbos to Erev Shabbos. So while he is sustaining the entire world in his merit, he subsides and subsists on next to nothing. Says the Shlach Kadosh Rav Yishaya Levi Horowitz, Bishvil, what is the word Bishvil? Kol ha'olam kulo nizon Bishvil Chanina. What do you mean, Bishvil? It means Lashon Derech V'tzinur. Kamo shvil harabim. Bishvil is like a shvil. What's a shvil? A pathway, a channel. Bishvil means that in Chanina's merit, there's a channel, the tzinoros open up, the pipes of holiness, of blessing, the shefa bracha, the bounty of bracha, they flow down to this world. Bishvil Chanina b'ni. But Chanina b'ni, dailo b'kav charuvim erev Shabbos l'erev Shabbos. His lot in life, he's mistapik b'muat. Chanina b'ni has very little and is satisfied with little and needs little and doesn't challenge the calculations of Hashem. Aye, so where's the fulfillment of Parshas Bechukosai? That if Bechukosai teilechu, then v'nasati gishmechem bi'itam is not for the tzaddik himself, but he for society, he for the rest of the community is the one who brings the shefa bracha, is the one who brings the shefa bracha. And this, says Reb Chaim Volozhiner, is how you understand the Gemara in Chagiga. Gemara Chagiga Tezvav says, Zacha tzaddik natal chelko b'chilik chaveru began Eden. If a tzaddik merits, he gets his portion and the portion of his friend in Gan Eden. That doesn't sound very nice. The tzaddik, the righteous, receive not only their portion, but they chaparai in the portion of their friend also in Gan Eden. I'm throwing in every Yiddish word I know today, if you didn't notice, by the way. I'm almost at the end of my limited list. They take their portion and the portion of their friend. Be'ez ha'chilik nosav yizke ha'tzadik. Why do they have the right to take a portion of their friend? So says Reb Chaim Volozhiner, Be'chilik sha'harasha lakach mimenu ba'olam hazeh, t'mura zeh yikach eschalko shel harasha began Eden. Where'd the shefa bracha that the rasha took in this world come from? in the merit of the tzaddik. So now when the tzaddik gets to Gan Eden, it's time to collect. Now he collects the corresponding portion that he gave up from the Russia in this world. Maybe you're not fully satisfied, but I think this is the beginning of a path. And I think it's a beautiful insight. Is that how do we understand this parsha? It seems empirically to be not true. The answer is it is true. You'll say that Reb Chaim Kanievsky lived in squander and poverty. He lived with next to nothing in simplicity. We know other righteous people who suffer with very hard and difficult lives. I won't say them by name, but there are Rosh Yeshiva and Tzaddikim whose Torah we quote, who have several children with disabilities, who have countless challenges, financial and otherwise, and you say, I don't understand it. The Torah they produce, these are the most righteous. Why are they suffering? The answer is, the promise of the Torah is fulfilled. In the merit of their learning and their amelos, there is bracha. Just didn't go to them yet, but all the bracha around them and in this world, the prosperity of Klal Yisrael, it's in their merit. So the Torah doesn't promise it's all going to correspond. It promises they open the channels, and it's in their merit that the flow occurs and the flow begins. Perachavav pasuk tes. Chavav tes. One of the promises is, V'radfu mechem chamisha mea mea mechem revav yudofu. Five of you will pursue 100, 100 of you will pursue 10,000, the enemies will fall before you. And now pasuk tes. Ufanisi aleichem, and I will turn my attention to you. V'efresi eschem, v'erbesi eschem. Ufanisi aleichem, I'll turn to you and I'll make you fruitful and increase. And establish my promise, my bris, my covenant with you. The Chidushei Harim, the Ger Rebbe, had an interesting thought on these words, Ufanisi Aleichem, that Ufanisi Aleichem, al derech drush, this is not what it means literally, but the Chidushei Harim, the Ger Rebbe said, that what it means, Ufanisi Aleichem, means, sheyelachem panai lechol davar. Ufanisi, the word panai means, to have time available, to have space and margin in life. Ufanisi aleichem. You know what the biggest bracha we can have is? Margin, space, to not feel overwhelmed and to not feel busy. Ufanisi aleichem. To have some space and some margin. That no matter how busy we are not overly consumed. Ufanisi aleichem. Shielechem pinai lechol davar. That you will have time, that you'll find the time, that you'll be able to take on projects and dreams and aspirations, and it won't be at the expense of your health or your learning or your children or your family. Ufanisi aleichem, the bracha that we strive for, that we want to merit, is of ufanisi aleichem, shielechem penai, that there'll be time without it being a trade-off, without having to give up something in the process. Okay, perach avav pasuk yud aleph. Again, continuing with the bracha still. You'll eat the old grain and remove the old grain to make way for the new grain, meaning there won't be supply chain issues. Our parsha tells us, literally it tells us, explicitly it tells us, if you merit, the supply will flow. And if you're not obedient and compliant, and if you don't merit, there'll be supply chain issues. Torah literally tells us. You will struggle in 2022 like a third world country to have baby formula to give your children. Torah tells us, wake up. If that's happening, learn from it, grow from it, improve yourself from it. Be better because of it. Children's lives are threatened. They can't be supported with formula. Is that generation valuing the life of a baby, of a child? Maybe there's something to learn. The value of life. I'm not creating a direct line or correlation between the two. These are complex subjects. To have to do justice, they take nuance. But it's a wake-up call. That's what this entire parsha is, a wake-up call. It says, if things are not going the way the Torah promised, then look in the mirror and ask yourself, what can we grow, what can we improve? What do we need to make better? V'achaltam yashan noshan, there'll be so much supply that you'll have to throw out the oversupply to make room for the new crop. And if you don't merit, you'll have supply chain issues. That's literally in our parsha. It's a wake-up call. The Pasuk Gedalef continues, V'nasati mishkani b'sochachem, I will place my holiness, my sanctuary, mishkani, milashon shachin, you'll feel I'm a neighbor to you, you'll feel I'm right there, I'm accessible to you, b'sochachem, v'lo sig'al nafshi eschem, and I will not reject you, v'lo sig'al nafshi, I will not reject you. What is v'lo sig'al nafshi, I won't reject you? What does that mean? So let's go back to the Eish Tamid. Back to Rav Druk, who was just here last week, who spoke here. Between Melchamarev, gave Divrei Hesped for his Rebbe, for Reb Chaim. What is Vulis Egal Nafshi? Zog Rashi, Ein Ruchi Katze Bachem. You ready for this? You know what the big bracha Hashem says is? You'll never make me throw up. I'll never be repulsed by you. You'll never make me nauseous about you. I'll never be so turned off by you. I won't be disgusted by you. Wow, that's romantic. Could you imagine? Imagine at the Sheva Brachas, the son-in-law stands up and he says to the Kala, your daughter, I want you to know, I'm so excited to live with you, to build a life with you, to build a home with you, to light up the world with you, to change the world with you. And I want you to know, in closing, that no matter what happens, no matter how much weight you gain, no matter how much ugly you become, no matter how many children or babies you have, I'll never be repulsed by you. Mazel tov. That's... Could you imagine? Lo sigal nafshi eschem. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, no matter what you do, no matter how much weight you gain, I'll never be repulsed by you. Ein ruchi katze bachem. Kol gi'ilo lashem pleitas davar abalua b'davar acher. Rashi spells it out. The word sigal comes from gi'ila, pleitas davar abalua. Something inside of something else that gets spit out. It's called vomit. You'll never make me throw up. I'll never be so disgusted and repulsed by you that I'll throw up. Mazel tov. Could you imagine? For the anniversary. Even after all these years, you've never made me repulsed. I've never thrown up because of you. Happy anniversary. Imagine? So what does this mean? The Ramban is bothered by this question. And the Ramban gives derech al derech asod. The Ramban gives a very mystical, very difficult to understand answer. So what does it mean? So the Rav Druk in his Eish Tamid, we didn't get to this last year, that's why I'm saved it for this year. What does that mean? What does that mean? So he quotes from his father Avi Mori from the Drash Mordechai, Rav Mordechai Druk. When it comes to a relationship with God, there is no happy medium. There is no parav. There are two extremes. There is no middle category, there is no neutral. We either are feeling his presence with us, or we have spit him out. We have vomited him from among us. There is no neutral. We're either living our lives that Hashem wants to dwell with us, or we're living our lives that we've not made room for him, that he wants no part of us, that we have vomited him out and he has vomited us out. We're either in love and living with love and showing love, or there's hate, there's repulsiveness, there's distance. Those are the two extremes. Adam alulashu la'atzma shenimtu b'matzav beinoni. Hein amnam lo zakayu la'shuras ha'shchina. Aval ha'kopanam gam la'magilo she'igalu lo'oso. B'machshav ha'zuba ha'torah la'afkiya. Ein matzav beiniyim kazeh. There is no middle category. There is no middle. There is no middle. He says that's why in Parshas Kisavo, which complements, that's the tochacha there, l'rosh velo l'zanav. That's it? You're either the head or the tail? You can't just be the rib steak in the middle? You can't be the flanken? You're either the head or the tail? The answer is yes. In a relationship with Hashem, you're acting, you're either a head or a tail. That's it. There is no middle ground. And he goes on and gives many other examples and evidence there is no middle ground. I would humbly submit to you a different answer. And what we were just mocking a moment ago is in fact very romantic and very beautiful. Sometimes a woman turns to a husband to a wife, and they say, would you still love me if I put on 100 pounds? Will you be attracted to me? Will you love me? And that's a moment of truth. And in a healthy and a good and a beautiful marriage, the answer is yes. There's nothing you can do that would make me feel repulsed by you. I love your character, and I love your personality, and I love the life we've built together. I love who we are, and my love is much deeper than skin deep, and there's nothing you can do that would repulse me. Eat a little bit more kale, but there's nothing that you could do that would repulse me. That would repulse me. In fact, that is very romantic. I wouldn't say it during Sheva Brachos or under the Chuppah, but in a private conversation, it's a very, very romantic and a very beautiful statement to say that my love for you is so pure and so genuine and so deep that even though we may hit bumps in the road and even though we might have friction and even though you might disappoint me and I disappoint you, it is so deep and is so profound and it is so unconditional that we'll always find a way back. There's nothing you could do that would make me repulsed. Nothing you could do that would make me want to leave. Kadosh Baruch Hu is turning to us and he's saying, you know what my bracha is? That when you're doing the right thing, there's nothing you can do. Lo sigal nafshi eschem. There's nothing that you can do. No matter how ugly you get, Klal Yisrael. No matter how ugly you get in exile. No matter how low you sink, no matter what you do, if first you do these merits and you do these mitzvos and you frame it in these beautiful things, the mistakes you'll make within the context of the beautiful relationship we have, lo sigal nafshi, I can never be repulsed or driven away by you. He has another comment in V'hisalachti b'sochachem, but I want to move over because I want to make sure to get to Perach Avav Pasuk Yedalad. If you listen to nothing else, listen to this. Perach Avav Pasuk Yedalad. Now we have the inverse of what we began with. If you im b'chukosai teilechu, I'm going to make it rain. But im lo se'ishmuli, v'lo sa'asu es kol mitzvos ha'ila, if you don't listen to me, and if you don't keep my mitzvos, im b'chukosai tim asu, and if you reject and you are repulsed by my chukim, in mishpatai tig'al nafshachem, then there's a terrible consequence to that. So Rashi says, what is lotishmu'li? We referenced it earlier. What is lotishmu'li? You didn't listen to me. What does it mean? Lios amelim b'torah. Not toiling in Torah is the definition of not listening. Chaim Shmulevitz, the great Chaim Shmulevitz, Rosh Shiva of the Mir, Sichos Musar, he says, why is him lo tishmu li shalot yu amelim? Maybe lo tishmu li means you weren't learning. You know, it has been said, davening is our talking to Hashem, learning Torah is Hashem talking to us. When we learn Torah, Hashem is speaking to us, and when we daven, we're speaking to Him. So lo tishmu li, you're not listening to me, should translate as, you're not learning Torah. Why does it translate as the higher or the deeper level of you're not amelim b'Torah? Lotishmu li. So Chaim explains, Chaim Shmulevitz says, and he was an example of this himself, he was a mevakish, he was moser nefesh, he toiled, and he had ambition, and he had drive in Torah learning. And he said, what it means is that if you're not amel, then you're not listening. You can't superficially learn Torah. Torah doesn't lend itself to superficiality. Torah doesn't lend itself to surface learning. Torah doesn't lend itself to a soundbite. We're going to talk about this on Shavuos when we examine the Jewish view of abortion, pro-choice, pro-life, where do we fit in, who are we? And one of the reasons that I want to look at it is not only about abortion, the topic per se, but as a case study of a contemporary issue which people have hijacked to try to misrepresent superficially. So you look on Twitter and you'll see some politically are inclined to say, Judaism is aligned with pro-choice. And others definitively say, Judaism is aligned with pro-life. And Judaism is neither. Torah doesn't conveniently fit into either. It's nuanced and it's complicated and it's filled with gray. And the Torah doesn't fit into 140 characters. Torah is not superficial, and it's not simplistic. So Chaim Shlevit says, "Im lo tishmu'li," means you're not amel b'Torah. Ah, you could be learning all day long, but if you're doing it casually and superficially, if you're doing it on the surface level, if you're doing it to fit into 140 characters for a soundbite, then you're not listening. Im lo tishmu'li means amelis b'Torah. It translates as Amelis B'Torah. It is the definition of Amelis B'Torah. Shlomo Volba, the great Alei Shor, understands it a little bit differently. He says, why doesn't it say, Im b'chukosai lo se'lechu? Shouldn't it be the, in fact, exact inverse? Why aren't we, it should be the parallel, the opposite. If the parsha began, Im b'chukosai te'lechu, now we should continue, Im b'chukosai lo te'lechu. Why did we shift and change? Instead of Imbechukosai lo teilechu, we became Imlo tishmo'o. Imlo tishmo'o. So Ravoba quotes from the Medrash. The Medrash Mos Rabba says, Shimu v'tchinav shechem, listen and your soul will live. And the Medrash there says, if a person fell off the roof and they broke every bone in their body, and they come to the doctor and the doctor bandages every bone in their body, so the doctor saying into their ear, I want you to heal, won't heal the bones of their body. The bones of their body have rods and casts and bandages, and each bone needs to heal independently. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, not so with you. The damage you've done to all of your limbs and your bones of your body through misbehaving, you can heal and you can fix with one organ, namely your ear. Simply listen, and by listening and learning, you can fix and repair and transform every limb and every bone of your body. Azoizok the Medrash. That's the Medrash. Shimu v'techinav shechem. Listen, and you can restore the life of your soul. You can heal entirely through the one feature of your ear, and it will transform you. The Mashgiach Rabbi Chezkel Levenstein said, when he was a bacher tzayir, when he was a young bacher in Radin, he heard a musar shmuz from the Mashgiach Rabbi Yerucham, and afterwards he said, my tzitzis were never real tzitzis, and my tefillin weren't real tefillin, and my emuna wasn't emuna, and now everything is different. Everything. I thought I was wearing tzitzis, I didn't know what tzitzis were. I thought I was wearing tefillin, I didn't know what tefillin were. I thought I said shema, I didn't know what shema was. I thought I had emuna, I didn't know what emuna was. Through our ear, we can repair and transform and redefine and recreate everything about who we are. That's the koach hashmiya. It has the ability to transform. That's why imlo tishmu li amelim batorah. Through our ear and through that amelus, it lifts and it changes. But it has to be beyond just the surface. It has to be beyond just learning the data and the statistics. It has to be something so much more. Rav Lichtenstein Zatzal, Rav Lichtenstein writes the following. A couple of years after we moved to Yerushalayim, I was once walking with my family in the Beis Yisrael neighborhood where Rav Zalman Meltzer used to live. For the most part, it consists of narrow alleys. We came to a corner and found a merchant stuck there with his car. The question came up as to how to help him. It was a clear case of priku te'ina, which is a halacha in the Torah, helping one load or unload a burden. There were some children there from the neighborhood, who judging by their looks were probably 10 or 11 years old. They saw the merchant was not wearing a yarmulke. So they began a whole pilpul, based on the Gemara Psachim Kuf Yud Gimel, whether they should help him or not. They said if he walks around bareheaded, presumably he doesn't separate shumas and maisras, so he's suspect of eating and selling untithed produce. And therefore maybe the halacha priku te'ina of helping him doesn't apply. So Lichtenstein says, he writes, I wrote Rav Soloveitchik, his father-in-law, a letter at the time, and I told him of the incident, and I ended with the comment, quote, children of that age from our camp would not have known the Gemara, but they would have helped him. My feeling then was, why, Ribono Shel Olam, must this be our choice? Can't we find children who would have helped him and still know the Gemara? Do we have to choose? I hope not. I believe not. If forced to choose, however, I would have no doubts where my loyalties lie. I prefer they learn less Gemara, but know to help him. It was an interesting insight and story. Of course, Rav Lichtenstein aspires that we produce children who do both. Know the Gemara, and then instinctively kick in to help. We should want to produce both. It's an interesting challenge, which one and so on. But when I saw this, it also reminded me, that's exactly what our pasuk is telling us. Im lo tishmu'u, amelim b'torah. The amelis b'torah has to lead to a tishmu'u where our organs and limbs kick in to put it into practice. And it reminded me also a story of the Alter Rebbe. The Alter Rebbe is a famous story. Alter Rebbe was once at home immersed in his learning, and he heard the cries of a baby. So what did he do? He stopped learning, and he went down the stairs, and he lovingly picked up his grandchild who had fallen out of his crib. And he held the baby, and he rocked the baby, and he soothed the baby until the baby stopped crying. He put him back in the crib, and he rocked gently for a short while until he fell asleep. And the Alter Rebbe's son, Rav Dov Ber, who had become known as the Mittler Rebbe, was in the room as the baby, same room, but was so engrossed in his learning that he was oblivious to everything that was happening. There's different versions of the story. He was in the next room, and the Alter Rebbe was in the third room, whatever the version is. The Mittler Rebbe was in the room closer to, or the same room as the baby. But he was so engrossed in his learning, he was so amel in his learning, he didn't hear the baby crying. So when the Dov Ber finally felt his father's presence, and he looked up at his father, the Alter Rebbe, his father gave him Musar. And he said, you should never ever be so engrossed in Torah learning that it causes you to not hear the cries of a baby. Put differently, learning which prevents you from hearing a baby crying is not Torah learning. That's not Torah learning. Torah learning should make you more sensitive to hear the cries of a baby, not deaf to it, not less of it. That's in Lo Tishmu. That's what our parsha is telling us. In Lo Tishmusha, you were not Amal B'Torah. Because if you were Amal in Torah, you'd hear the baby crying. Amal B'Torah doesn't mean you don't hear the baby crying. If you were Amal B'Torah, you'd hear the baby crying. If you were Amal B'Torah, Rav David Feinstein, you'd be pushing the cart through the supermarket on Thursday night. If you're Amal B'Torah, you'd be wanting to turn Friday into Erev Shabbos. If you're Amal B'Torah, you'd be kicking into action. You'd be putting what you're learning into practice, into actual practice. All right, we ran out of time, but I'll tell you what you're missing. At the end of the parsha, we have a promise. First of all, it's strange. It's in the middle of the Tokacha. We're in the middle of the harsh rebuke. It's Perech of Pasuk Mem Beis. I'm just going to ask it as a question. V'zacharti es brisi Yaakov, es brisi Yitzchok, v'af es brisi Avraham es kor, v'aretz es kor. We say this in our slichos, so it's worthwhile to know what it means. One day, when I'm 118, we'll be up to in Siddur Slichos. One day. We say in the parasha, we say it in Slichos, I'll remember my bris with Yaakov, and even my bris with Yitzchak, and my bris with Avram I'll remember, and the land I'll remember. Why is Hashem giving comfort in the middle of the Tochacha? I'm going to destroy you, I'm going to kill you, you want a baby, your children will die, you'll be at war, you'll have no peace of mind, you'll be on the run. But I remember, what is it doing here? It's out of place. And why is it in the reverse order? Why are you remembering Yaakov, and then Yitzchak, and then Avram? And why are we equating the bris with the land with the bris with our forefathers? What is that all about? We'll set it aside. Mirat Hashem. We'll do it next year. Have a fantastic Shabbos. Stay happy, stay holy. And it's not Shabbos, it's only Tuesday. Have a good Shabbos. Every day is Bechinas Erev Shabbos. Have a great Shabbos. Have a great day. Stay happy, stay healthy, and stay holy.